You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
Talk. Was that the instructions right there?
Here we go. Back on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, a Tuesday night. We do it each and every Tuesday from 7 to 8 o'clock right here at Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Monmouth coming off a very good, solid victory, 27-14 over Sacred Heart, improves to 3-1, 2-0 in the conference. We'll have plenty of time to talk about this week's game, the University of Albany, coming up in our last segment. But happy year to get a couple minutes out of this guy, Lamar Davenport, who had a career day, 9 catches, 105 yards, both career in receptions and yards. First of all, congratulations on the win. Congratulations on your game. Good to have you here. How's things?
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Talk about your day a little bit. I mean, at what point of the afternoon are you saying every time you're going back to the huddle, Kyle, I'm open. Throw me the ball. This is my day. I got this guy's number.
Frazier does a good job during the game. He always comes to me. We talk on the sideline. He said, we're going to keep coming to you. He liked our matchup, so... You like my matchup with the guy that was covering me, so he's going to come to me.
So on this day, I mean, the offense has so many weapons, right? I mean, there's you, and there's Tristan, and there's Neil when he's healthy, and there's the tight ends, and there's the running backs. And it's been a theme when we've had offensive guys come on the show. How does everybody stay happy?
Well, you just got to understand that you got so many weapons that, you know, one day it might be your day. Next game, it might be someone else's day. And you just got to be patient and everything will come to you.
How important and how has the transition gone for you from last year and getting some time on the field to losing Kyle Frazier in the middle of the year? And Craig Peterson came in and did a very good job as the backup quarterback. But then reestablishing that relationship with Kyle in spring ball, in the preseason practice, and now right now you guys seem to just be clicking perfectly.
Yeah, well, you know, in spring, during spring practice, we was working hard on getting our chemistry back together, running routes, putting in some extra time, so that when the season comes, you know, I hit the ground going, and it's showing now.
Coach, how important has it been? You know, there's been some injury problems in the receiving core. I think so much was expected of Neil coming into this year after the season that he had last year, but he's been banged up. His ankles have been banged up. To be able to have a guy like Lamar just rise up and so far be so good through the first four games.
It's invaluable. And, you know, the receiver position is one I think is not only talented, it's extremely deep for us. It's very similar to our running back situation or our tight end situation. We have a number of guys that we know can go out on the field and make plays. And as you said, you know Neil's been bothered by a bad ankle a little bit. But, you know, I don't think we've missed a beat offensively. What Tristan Roberts, what Lamar, what Eric Sumlin, Thad Richards have been able to do, he's really, you know, kept us clicking on offense. And, you know, it's a group that I think, like the defensive line, like Rich was mentioning before, I think they have a very positive chemistry between them. And as you said, Matt, I mean, there's never a receiver that's going downfield on a pass that doesn't think he's wide open every time. So you know, we understand that, but I think we're able to take advantage of what defenses do, and we've got to have a number of different ways in which we can do that. You know, having Lamar, have a big day on Saturday, it was really good to see. We're very happy for him, because he's a worker. If he's not catching the ball, he's blocking, he's working for the running backs in our run game. And he's always working when he's out there on the field. So it was good to see him be rewarded by having such a good day.
17 catches so far on the season, 192 yards, 2 touchdowns, and averaging over 11 yards per catch. Lamar, talk about as a wide receiver. I know every catch you probably think about and remember, but there's probably nothing better than catching a touchdown pass, right?
Yeah, definitely. Catching touchdowns, that's what we love to do as receivers.
And you got your first college touchdown this year, right?
Yeah.
Rhode Island.
And my mom was able to see it. That was her first time seeing me in my first college game.
Is your mom listening tonight?
Yeah, she's listening.
Why don't you give her a little shout-out right now?
Hey, Mom.
Lamar Davenport giving us a few minutes here on the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show. So I'm probably going to embarrass you a little bit now. There was a very well-done article about you in the Asbury Park Press this past week by Steve Edelson, who's a very good columnist for the press, talking about, you know, you growing up in Asbury Park, being a local kid. And Asbury, not an easy place to grow up. You know, a lot of guys don't make it to where you are right now playing college football. Mm-hmm. And you had a great career at Asbury Park. You won 3 state championships, played on some real good football teams. But I'm sure there's a lot of guys who are not doing the best of things right now, where here you are playing college football. How have you gotten to this point? I mean, how did you not go down the wrong road and make a good right turn when a lot of guys went left?
I think I had a strong, a lot of support from my family, a strong family that kept me grounded. And also I had good coaches and people to push me along the way to help me get where I'm at now.
Now for you, I would imagine for you, you're kind of a role model right now for a lot of guys who are still in Asbury. And it's close enough. It's not like you have to drive 1,000 miles to go home and see what's going on. Do you still get to go back and kind of check in on guys and what they're doing right now?
Yeah, once in a while I'll go back to the high school, try to talk to some of the players down there at Asbury, and try to be a role model to some of them and give them some advice on things that they need advice on.
You know, Coach, it is really a good story. I mean, a small Group 1 school like Asbury Park, they have so much success over the last few years, and Lamar, a big part of that. What were some of the things that grabbed you guys to recruit him? Because I think a lot of those small school guys, sometimes they get missed and they get skipped, even if they're on great teams like Lamar was.
Well, they did. But, you know, first and foremost, there was no doubt in our mind that, you know, Lamar was an extremely talented player. And he's right here from Asbury in our backyard. He was someone that we had a very high level of interest in. And we get a lot of, great recommendations on Lamar from people at Asbury Park High School. One of our former players is one of the assistant coaches there, Robert Ward. He's very active with the program. He would call me all the time and tell us, you know, what a great young man, you know, Lamar was, what a talented athlete he was. And then the people in the guidance office at the high school, you know, Barbara did a great job of, you know, making sure that, you know, she stayed on us, and she also stayed on Lamar to do everything he needed to do from his end in the recruitment process. And, you know, she desperately wanted it to work. She wanted Lamar to be successful, and she didn't want anything falling through the cracks there. And I think the combination of, you know, our high level of interest in Lamar, the people that he had working on his behalf at the high school, and Robert Ward in the guidance department, and Lamar and his family and himself, you know, for wanting to succeed, I think you've got to give them a lot of credit as well.
Lamar, do you feel like even though Asbury Park is kind of a stone's throw away from Monmouth, that you're far enough away that you can feel like, hey, I'm still getting the whole college experience, even though you're a pretty local guy, like you still have that away-from-home experience right now?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the things I love about being at Monmouth. It's like I'm close enough to go, be able to go back and see my family and friends, but I'm also far enough to, you know, keep myself out of trouble.
And how about this? I show up at spring practice this year, and I'm looking for guys' numbers, and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, who's that guy, number 2? He looks pretty good. And then the number changed. Why the number change this year?
Well, I wore number 2 back in high school, so I felt like...
You're kind of waiting for it to open back up.
Yeah, waiting for it to open back up. So when it opened, I had to get it. That was my favorite number.
To be honest, I really think that number 89 didn't quite have enough swag for Lamar. He needed to get down to a single-digit number.
I guess when you do, let's be honest,
Lamar, come on now, right?
When you are a single-digit guy, I mean, you kind of stand out a little bit more, right?
Yeah, definitely. I try to.
Lamar Davenport here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. So let's talk this week, Lamar. You know, we just got a defensive perspective from Rich, who is on the show. How about offensively? You know, I'm sure you're neck deep in watching film right now. Albany, pretty good defense so far. Have some experienced guys back in that secondary. What does Monmouth have to do offensively this week to have success against what's been a pretty good Albany defense?
Yeah, well, we definitely have to be disciplined. They're a defense that doesn't give up many big plays, so we have to stick to the game plan and hopefully be able to put some points in the board.
Do you guys have a good understanding in the locker room this week of how big this game could be and is in terms of the whole way that the conference is this season?
Yeah, definitely. Our seniors, our leaders are staying on top of us. We haven't beaten this team in 3 years, so We know that being the champs, we have to go through all of them. So.
Well, Lamar, I want to wish you, obviously, continued success. Congratulations on a career week last week. I hope next week I can say, Lamar Davenport, another career week, 10 catches and maybe 120 yards and a couple more scores to go along would probably mean that it was a pretty good week.
That sounds good to me. What about you, Lamar?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Like the sound of that?
Just keep adding to the totals. Continued success on the field, off the field. I know you're a criminal justice major. You've done Asbury Park proud with what you're doing right now in West Long Branch. So good things, and continue to be a role model. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes.
All right, thank you.
That's Lamar Davenport, the wide receiver from Asbury Park High School. We step out, take a two-minute timeout. When we come back, Coach and I will go through the University of Albany Great Danes and get into them at more length. We step out for a two-minute pause. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show, and it's right here on the Shore Sports Network.
Join the all-new WOBM AM Clubhouse at WOBMAM.com and enter to win great prizes such as an Apple iPad 2, a Toshiba 50-inch LCD HD TV, a Keurig Platinum Brewer, $500 cash, and much, much more. So join the WOBM AM Clubhouse and play games, answer trivia, get prizes, all at WOBMAM.com. Powered by Meridian Health, taking care of New Jersey.
Top It Frozen Yogurt Bar is the official frozen dessert of Monmouth University Athletics and the sponsor of Hawk Stars, MU Athletics' new kids club, with two great locations at 638 Ocean Avenue in Long Branch and on Main Street in Freehold. Top It invites you to treat yourself nice today with their delicious frozen yogurt and fresh toppings. Present your game ticket at the counter and receive 10% off of your order. And keep your eyes open around Monmouth's campus for their new Yogurt Mobile, a fully functioning, on-the-go frozen yogurt supplier. Visit them online at topitnj.com. Bob and Marianne's Lifestyle Expo, the original senior expo, is back Monday, October 29th at the Ocean County Mall on Hooper Avenue in Toms River, presented by Ocean Medical Center, a member of the Meridian Health family. Come at 8 a.m. and visit us at Center Court for Bob and Marianne's live broadcast, free breakfast, and to register for bingo and a chance to win up to $500 cash. You can also enter for your chance to win $250. Drawings will take place at 11:30 and 12:30. Must be present at time of drawing to win. Get a flu shot, visit with local businesses, get health screenings, sell your gold, or get your jewelry appraised right at the expo, courtesy of Nationwide Gold and Estate Buyers. Bob and Marianne's Lifestyle Expo, the original senior expo, Monday, October 29th at Center Court at the Ocean County Mall on Hooper Avenue in Toms River. Sponsored in part by Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield. Visit WOBMAM.com for details.
You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
It's preview time here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show, back on the Shore Sports Network as the head coach of the Hawks in his 20th year, Kevin Callahan, along with myself, Matt Harmon. Coach, you know, we've got some extended time here, so we can maybe get into it a little bit more now after 4 weeks of the season for most, not everyone, but for most. We always like to spend some time kind of bouncing around the league a little bit, and to me it was another kind of interesting week. You know, there was a team that got their first win in Wagner, and a couple of teams still searching for their first win, Sacred Heart, one of them, who Monmouth dealt a 27-14 loss for. But let's go around the league from last week, and I'll throw the scores back at you, and then we'll go through the standings a little bit. Just give me your impressions of anything that maybe you know, even if it's surprising score.
Okay.
Duquesne, 35-21 over Bryant, up in Rhode Island. Duquesne now 3-1, Bryant 0-4.
Not surprised that Duquesne won. Somewhat surprised that Bryant is winless. Thought they would be a much stronger team, have a number of weapons back, particularly on the offensive side, although they do have to replace their quarterback this year, an all-league running back, an all-American running back, an all-league receiver. I thought they'd have their first win by now.
I'll throw this at you. I'm not sure. I'm guessing you haven't really seen much of that game.
I haven't seen Bryant at all yet.
How does something like this happen? Bryant's up, and it's happened to Monmouth, and it's happened to every team before. Bryant's up in this game 21-17, and then Duquesne scores 18 unanswered points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, without having seen it, I'm assuming it's big plays. It's either big plays, turnovers, mistakes in the kicking game.
I mean, that kind of goes to the point of saying you've got to play a full 60 minutes, right?
And that's something we tell our guys all the time. And, you know, we've seen that in years past, the difference of not finishing out a game, of being in control late in the game and not being able to put an opponent away. And it appears as though, you know, Bryant was in that position last week. And, you know, I don't know what happened in the game. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm assuming there were some big plays or turnovers that might have flipped that game the opposite way.
And that will lead us into some Albany discussion in just a second. That's why I wanted to ask that question. Wagner gets their first win of the year. They go up to Connecticut and knock off Central Connecticut State, who is still winless at 0-4. Final score on that one, 31-13. That was the league's TV game of the week. I got to spend a little bit of time watching that, and it seemed like a different Wagner football team than the one we had seen the week before. Dominique Williams had a great game, and that might be Monmouth just better last week than Central Connecticut State was a prior week, but that score, what's that
well,
do for you?
I think it shows that Wagner's starting to get untracked offensively. You know, they had been bottled up coming into our game. I thought we did a pretty good job of keeping Dominique Williams from getting his yards and forcing him into a must-pass situation. Their offense isn't really geared toward that. They don't want to be that. And I think when we were successful in taking the running game away, it forced Wagner to play a different type of game against us. I did have a chance to see a little bit of the Central Connecticut game on Friday night on television. And what I saw was Wagner was having success offensively, both running and throwing the ball. And I think once they get their running game going, they're going to be much more successful on offense. That's what we saw in the Central game.
This one, a tough order for a team that maybe has surprised some at a 2-2 mark, St. Francis, Pennsylvania. They were playing down in Maryland against the top 10 team in the nation in Towson. The Tigers wound up winning that one 46-17. St. Francis kind of in the game early on, but then maybe a bit outclassed in that one. So my question for you in that game is not necessarily final score, which was pretty one-sided, but how much do you take out of playing a real good football team like Towson if you're St. Francis?
Well, I think it shows, you know, that the fact that they were in the game in the early going, you know, shows me that, you know, St. Francis is a team that can play with anybody. The week before, they scored, I believe, 57 points against Morehead State from the Pioneer League. And what really sticks out at me from St. Francis is that they're averaging 275 yards a game rushing the ball. And their running back, the kid who was an all-league player a year ago, has been out for the season. So they're doing this with yet another back, their backup, their second. So it tells me they're doing something right. They're able to run the ball extremely well. I didn't see any stats from the Towson game, but, you know, any team that can run the ball like that is going to put themselves in a position to have success.
There are four teams right now in the league, and we'll save the Albany score from last week for just a second. There are four teams in the league that are undefeated. Monmouth, the only 2-0 team. Albany, Duquesne, and St. Francis, Pennsylvania at 1-0. Wagner now 1-1. Robert Morris and Sacred Heart, along with Central Connecticut State, 0-1 in the league. Bryant at 0-2. Is it hard to gauge things a little bit until teams kind of play catch-up and everyone has played the same amount of league games? Like, you're 2-0, and there's a couple of other undefeated teams, but you've just been fortunate enough to play two league games where they've played one.
Right, and I think that if you look at the Northeast Conference over the last several years, you know, it's a league that the champion is not going to be decided until very late in the season. A lot of strange things happen week after week. And, you know, you can't get overly concerned with the record. You can't get overly concerned with standings and where you are today, because if you do, you might not be there tomorrow. You've got to make sure that you're focusing on the next opponent at hand and making sure that you play your best in that game, because things change every single week.
Yeah, I mean, it's been very rare. I actually spent some time this past week looking at it, and I had a hard time finding a team in recent memory that has won the league and been undefeated.
I think you would have to go back to, it might have been us in 2006.
Yeah, I mean, it's even before that, it doesn't happen very often. There's a lot of teams that actually have either tied for a co-championship with two losses. So the one score we left out of that was Albany. They beat Maine, which was a ranked team prior to last week, 30-20. And let's start with that. Let's start with the schedule that Albany has had right now. They are in an identical 3-1. They have wins over Colgate, 40-23, a league win over Robert Morris, 35-10. A tough loss at Youngstown State, 31-24. And then last week's win over Maine, 30-20. So both teams 3-1. We'll start our comparison there, as this obviously has major implications in terms of the conference schedule. And it's not to say that Monmouth has played an easier schedule up until this point, but boy, Albany has played some really good teams, at least on paper. And, you know, if you look at things that way, they're pretty battle-tested coming in this one.
They have. They've played, you know, they opened up the season with a Colgate team who, you know, perennially is at the top of the Patriot League. I don't know exactly where they're going to fall this year or where they may finish, but year after year, they're a quality team. You know, the Robert Morris game, you know, we did have a chance to see as we were getting ready for Albany here. That was early in the season. It was week two. You know, Robert Morris really hadn't gotten on track yet, but what strikes me is in the last 2 weeks, they've played two top 25 teams, Youngstown State, who's number three in the nation, and Maine, who was number 22 at the time when Albany played them. And to play two ranked teams, two teams from that have the full complement of scholarships, and play the way that they did is very impressive. As we said, they beat the Maine team and really beat them soundly. And in the Youngstown State game, you know, they were right there to the very end. It was 24-24 into the fourth quarter. Youngstown scores to take the lead 31-24. And then Albany goes on a drive that would tie the game but ends up not converting on a fourth down.
So we look at the overall series, which has gone Albany's way as of late. They have a 10-4 series advantage. They won the first five times that Monmouth and Albany played. Monmouth won the four after that, going all the way through 2006. But it's been Albany, the team that's dominated as of late, including a 41-24 victory last year in West Long Branch. And why I asked you that question about Duquesne and kind of falling apart, or actually Brian falling apart in the fourth quarter of their game against Duquesne, was the last couple times that Monmouth has played, including last year, there's been leads for the Hawks in the second half, in the third quarter. Last year up 17-14, and then Albany outscores MU 17-7 to win the game, kind of going away a little bit.
In the last two seasons, you said we've held second-half leads. Late in the third quarter last year, we had the lead. Into the fourth quarter, the score was tied. The year before, it was we had the lead in the third quarter. They took the lead 21-19 early in the fourth, and they've made plays in the fourth quarter to really, you know, take the game away from us and to cement their victories. A year ago, it was big plays. They had a long screen pass for a touchdown, a fake punt that went for a touchdown, and a long run by their running back, Drew Smith, 62 yards for a touchdown. The year before, we were driving for the winning points in the fourth quarter, were sacked, fumbled. They picked up the fumble, returned it for a touchdown that ended up being the deciding points in the game.
Let's talk about a couple of things in terms of this. You mentioned Drew Smith, who to me, if there's a guy who's been a little underrated in his play the last few years, and maybe not from the coaches, but I just mean the attention of other players in the league, Jordan Brown, running back from Bryan, Larry McCoy, running back from Duquesne, and then it's kind of been, who else is there? And to me, Drew Smith, is in that discussion. I mean, he's a big, strong player who, when he was recruited to Albany, I don't think anybody knew what he was going to play because he played some wide out, he played some quarterback.
Right.
Now he's found a home at tailback, and he's as good, I think, as anybody in the league.
He is. He's got a great frame. He's 6'2". He's 200 and some pounds. He's a long strider. He has deceptive speed, and he's always falling forward when he runs. I haven't seen anybody, even this year, in the games we've seen him play, he's never getting knocked backwards. He's always making positive yards. And I think, you know, getting back to your point, he hasn't been in the discussion or at the top of the discussion about the top backs in the league because he may not have the total yardage that other people have. I think Albany spreads the ball around a little bit more. They do use two and sometimes three running backs in a game. So he's not accumulating the big yardage that you see maybe a Jordan Brown from Bryant getting or Larry McCoy from Duquesne getting. But he's also averaging 6.2 yards per carry, and that's impressive.
New quarterback this year for Albany from last year, where they had DeLell. This year, new guy, but some good wide receivers, some good targets. Ryan Kirchner, local product from Rumson-Fairhaven. Cole King, another guy who's pretty good for Albany. So just like Monmouth, who has
running backs that they can factor in, wide receivers that they can factor in. Same kind of situation for Albany, where they can be pretty balanced.
They're very balanced. They have depth and talent at those skill positions, and they utilize it. They're going to play all of those guys in the game. They've got three, you know, very, very good receivers. Every one of them does something a little bit differently. Cole King is more of the deep threat. He's the bigger 6'3 guy that they're going to send down the field. You know, Kirchner, you know, has great hands. He's more of a possession guy, does a terrific job blocking. And their slot receiver is Kevin Chillis, a guy that, you know, can really get open underneath, shake people, run after the catch. They've got, you know, two very good running backs in Smith, who we've been talking about, and Osborne. And they have a quarterback who really operates within the offense. They don't ask him to do anything that's, you know, outside of himself. And he's very intelligent. He's very smart. He puts the ball where it has to go in the passing game. He makes the right reads in the run game, and they do have a fair amount of option in their attack. And consequently, they're able to move the ball and utilize a lot of their skill players when they do it. A
couple minutes to go here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Coach, always like to ask you before we get off the air, guys that have been banged up the last couple of weeks for Monmouth. Kind of lost a key guy last week in Billy Louch, also Neil Sterling, who we've talked about a little bit tonight. Any update on who's in, who could be out?
Well, at this point, it's a little early to tell. I'm expecting all of them to play. You know, Bill left the game last week. He's been working with our trainers and saw a doctor yesterday. He's going to see a doctor again tomorrow morning. But at this point, I'm anticipating him playing. You know, Neil, who's been bothered by a bad ankle since the second day of practice, is probably feeling the best he has since that injury occurred this week. Was out for full practice today. Looked really good. Didn't look like there was any, you know, residual effects from that injury. And then we have other guys who were banged up a little bit. You know, we've been a little bit banged up in the offensive line, but I think, you know, a day or so of rest, and those guys are all going to be ready to go. And, you know, at this point in the season, after four physical games, everybody's nursing a little bit of something.
Last question for you. We talked a couple weeks ago when Monmouth played Wagner, what it's like going against a former guy that you worked with in Walt Hamline. Bob Ford has been doing it twice as long as
twice
you
as
have
long.
In his 40th year, but a guy you spent some time with and I know have great respect for.
Yeah, he started the program at Albany 40 years ago, 1970, and he's done a terrific job there. He's the winningest coach in the NCAA. I was very fortunate to start my coaching career with him fresh out of college when I graduated in 1977. Then I spent the 77, 78, and 79 seasons with Coach Ford, as have many college coaches, particularly in the Northeast. And it was a great experience. It was a great way to start. And many of the things that I do today were things I learned from working under Coach Ford.
Coach, appreciate the time. Best of luck on Saturday. Hope we're sitting here next Tuesday talking about another Monmouth win.
You bet, Matt. Thank you.
All right. That's the head coach, Kevin Callahan. Our thanks to Lamar Davenport and Rich Lorfring for stopping by. We'll do it again next Tuesday night from 7 to 8, live here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. This weekend's game, Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock from University Field in upstate New York. For the head coach, Kevin Callahan, and all of us here from Jack's Goal Line Stand, Matt Harmon saying so long. You've been listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com. Join us again next Tuesday when we broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End and talk Hawks football. For more on your Monmouth Hawks, visit gomuhawks.com and shoresportsnetwork.com.